The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So here's a question that I bet you have never, ever thought about before. Are you ready? What do Donald Trump and baptism have in common? You know, it might surprise you that I think there is quite a lot we can learn about baptism from Donald Trump. Now, before you run me out of the church or whisper uncomfortably in your pews to one another about how your pastor has turned crazy, let me explain myself. And we have to firstly get two things out of the way. Firstly, let me clarify, I am not equating Donald Trump with Jesus. Though I'm sure this Republican candidate for President of the United States would be flattered to have a church of Trump, this is not what I am arguing in any shape or form. Secondly, in equating Donald Trump with baptism, I also want to be clear that demeaning, chastising, and degrading women, ethnic minorities, and those who have opposing viewpoints, like Donald Trump and other candidates for president have done, is not what I believe living out our baptism is all about. Now, let me get to where I do believe these two things connect in some interesting ways. You know, when I was teaching confirmation at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in San Francisco, who I visited last week when I was in San Francisco, and who as a congregation brings you greetings, I was asked by a youth in the confirmation class this question. What does baptism mean for me living my life on earth? I think this is a question that is really important, especially for Lutherans, right? Because if you grew up in the Lutheran church, you were most likely baptized as an infant. And you didn't, quote, choose Christ, as many other church denominations emphasize. So the logic, I think, that this youth was using makes a lot of sense. If we don't choose Christ in our baptism, then how do we choose baptism as a marker for living our lives? Luther writes of this. He writes, works are of no use. Baptism is not our work, but God's work. Baptism is for everyone, for we are all children of God. For Lutherans and our tradition, not choosing Christ, I think, is precisely the point. The sacrament doesn't rest on our choice, but God's choice. God, through Jesus Christ, chooses us. Baptism, then, is a mark not of our faith in God, but of God's faith in us. In this account from Luke, Jesus is baptized, and God says, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. A very famous line. Many biblical scholars believe that Luke actually pulled this statement from Psalm 2, a coronation psalm that was thought to have been sung during the coronation of Jewish kings. The parallel psalm verse reads, God says, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." Jesus, then, according to Luke, is being coronated of sorts in this baptismal scene. God anoints and claims Christ and his life. And Christ then becomes the monarch of this new age. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we are connected to. A spirit that flows through eternity and links us to God together, even closer in our baptisms. And so through baptism, we are chosen as marked children of God to also follow the Anointed One in this new age. But hold on just a minute. This anointed king doesn't follow any of the rules. In fact, Christ defies many of the old standards and expectations that monarchs live by. Which brings me back to Donald Trump. New York Times wrote a few weeks ago, quote, "From the first moment of his campaign, Donald Trump showed that he won't be playing by anybody's rules but his own. His long-promised next phase, defined by new spending, such as waves of television commercials, have so far failed to materialize. His advisors have not revealed the existence of any pollsters on their staff or any advertising team as such. He has no real research operation to examine his own vulnerabilities or those of his opponents, and based on Federal Election Commission filings, little in the way of voter contact operation to identify and turn out his supporters. Yet, he remains solidly as the front runner for Republican nomination." Trump has gone against old standards and expectations, and so far, largely has rewritten many of them. Through baptism, I think Jesus does the same thing. Here was an anointed one, not one by bloodline or one that was chosen by the previous king. No, this was one that was appointed by God. An anointed one that ate with the sick, an outcast, instead of the ruling class. A ruler who looked beyond standard national borders instead of defending them. A monarch who wielded power of love instead of military might. A new age with new rules has begun. And it has begun with baptism. It is through the Holy Spirit and our own baptism that we too then can be freed from the old standards and expectations. Because God has marked us as God's children through baptism, we are freed to defy expectations, just like Jesus. This is something I don't believe that the historical church has really done much. Through the centuries, the church has been comfortable in many ways to sit back and allow the old standards and expectations to rule. We have been more concerned about how to bring back the good old days of societal acceptance than to live into our baptismal call of new standards. And so I believe the church needs in some way, dare I say, live a little more like Donald Trump. Our new life in baptism challenges us to rewrite the norms. Next Sunday, January 17th, Casey Dunning from the Missoula Interfaith Collaborative will be here with us and will preach and worship. He will be here to kick off the new community assessment initiative, something that our church or any church in our area has never done. This initiative, something that your church council has been discussing for months, is based on a very simple premise: talking to our neighbors. Casey will be leading a meeting after worship on the 17th that will begin to craft a list of community leaders in Bonner, in Milltown, in Clinton, in Tura, in Missoula, as well as questions to ask about the needs, about the hopes, about the dreams of these communities. And then it will be turned to us, our congregation, a task which I invite all of you to participate in, because we need people to contact these leaders, to talk with these leaders, to ask these questions, to go out to have a coffee or a tea or a beer, to have lunch, to invite people to your house to meet at River City Grill, however it happens. And you will be asked to submit just a brief little write-up of our church, of the conversation that you had to our church, so that we can tabulate the information that is said by these different community leaders. After this process, our church, I think, will have a much better understanding of who our neighborhood is and what the issues it now faces are. It will give us the opportunity to rethink our baptismal call and to allow us to ask, how are we being church in this community? Of course, this will require effort and perhaps some rules that our church has gotten comfortable with will need to be rewritten. But it's also exciting. It excites me, at least, because it's our opportunity to follow this new age and live into this new age of baptism. It's our opportunity to reach others whom we have not had contact with before. You know, I was at Bonner School a couple months ago for the Thanksgiving dinner with the first and second graders. I had a great discussion with a first and second grader boy, a couple of boys, in the church cafeteria as we were eating. And I found out that these three boys went to the Boys and Girls Club, which is held in our church after school every day during the weekday of the week. And so just as ending of conversation, I said, well, you know what? You should stop by my office. Just say hi. And I didn't really think anything of it until a week and a half ago, when I got a little knock on my office door, and there were these three boys. Hi, Pastor Eric. It's good to see you. This is our moment. This is our opportunity through our baptism to say to our community, you are claimed. You are marked. With you, I am well pleased. Let's rewrite the rules and expectations. Amen.